This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Fresh nervousness ripples through financial markets as Moderna's boss warns on vaccine efficacy against Omicron. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. In an interview published with the Financial Times this morning, Moderna chief executive Stéphane Bancel said existing coronavirus vaccines will likely struggle against the Omicron variant of the virus. What's more, he said the number of mutations likely means new vaccines will be required next year, and he warned it will take months before pharmaceutical companies can manufacture variant-specific shots. His remarks sparked a wave of fresh declines in global financial markets this morning. Brent and West Texas oil prices are down between 2.5% and 3%. The Pan-European Stock 600 index is off 1%, while U.S. stock futures point to similar losses at the opening bell. Prices of government bonds, meanwhile, are rallying as investors flee to traditional safe havens. As we've discussed this week, what's putting investors on edge is the potential economic damage this new variant could cause if it results in more widespread travel restrictions or even lockdowns. But there are conflicting messages, the kind from Moderna's boss today and one from the South African doctor who reported the variant. She writes in today's Daily Mail that none of what she and other physicians there are seeing in patients warrants the kinds of responses from European governments. The BBC's Michelle Roberts explains why.
Nobody has the full picture or answer yet, but there's a lot of reasons to be optimistic. Current vaccines have worked really, really well, not just against the original version of COVID that they were designed to protect against, but also the new variants that we've been seeing. So Alpha, Delta, all the other ones. Now, obviously, we've got a new one on the block at the moment. We've got Omicron, and we still need more information about how well they protect against that one, because this new variant has a lot of changes. So it looks quite different to the original COVID. All of the vaccines so far have been really brilliant at stopping or helping to prevent hospitalizations and very serious illness. And experts are hopeful that it should still do this against the new variant. So those tests are going on at the moment to really check. Those are going to take a couple of weeks, but we've heard from the boss of Moderna today saying he'd be surprised if efficacy didn't go down because of the mutations that are there. But he's not suggesting it's time to hit the button and start making new versions of vaccine that are a better match. He's saying, let's just hold fire for a bit, gather the evidence and then see.
The other interesting thing from the interview he gave with the FT today was he pointed out vaccine availability for developing nations. He said 70 million Moderna doses that have been earmarked for COVAX are still just waiting in storage facilities. Do you think this new variant might put a greater sense of urgency to get those vaccines where they need to go?
I mean, let's hope so. It's very much been a story throughout this of countries buying up doses, you know, developed world giving their population a lot of vaccines, which you can understand why, but then developing world not getting as many doses. And as we've heard repeatedly from the experts, nobody's safe until everybody is safe, because ultimately we need enough protection in widespread communities, either from past infection or from vaccines, to mean that we reach this sort of thing called herd immunity, where the disease can't keep spreading so much because enough people have past experience.
Michelle Roberts, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
If the emergence of the Omicron coronavirus variant has taught us anything, it's that how the COVID-19 pandemic evolves is still very uncertain. One thing, though, that researchers at Dutch financial services company Rabobank are fairly certain about is that prices on a range of food items won't come down next year. That's due to two main factors, high commodity prices and severe weather events. Carlos Mera is head of agriculture commodity markets research at Rabobank. He explains why.
When we talk about agricultural commodity prices, inflation is a little bit different than the inflation in the general economy. We see many prices increasing, not only agricultural commodity prices, it's also farm input prices. Like, for example, when we look at fertilizer prices, they more than double in the last few months, especially when it comes to nitrogen, because you need natural gas to produce nitrogen, and that is a cost input to the farmer. So even if demand sort of normalizes ahead, farmers will see increased costs, which means these current high prices are unlikely to go back to pre-pandemic levels.
And weather is another thing that you're expecting to affect certain countries like the US, Brazil, and Argentina.
We have a second consecutive La Niña event, and La Niña generally correlates with dry weather. In the last La Niña event, about a year ago, we saw dry weather in Argentina and the south of Brazil. At the moment, those areas are more or less okay, but we do see dryness building in the south of the U.S. And that's a big concern for winter wheat, in particular, wheat prices that are the highest in a decade. And of course, it's a major food staple for most of the Western world.
And your report looks at a number of different food categories, but there's one that I think me and our audience will be particularly interested in. It's coffee. It's a staple for us early birds. You expect production levels to go down next year, but that doesn't necessarily mean that supply will drop, does it?
We do expect less exports out of Brazil, especially in the year until July, have record exports. The last harvest, which was around July, was affected by the dryness that I mentioned earlier. Also, on top of that, we have a frost that will impact next year's production. That was the worst frost in two decades. And on top of that, to make things worse, we have this scarcity of containers globally that started in Southeast Asia. Then Brazil is by far the largest producer and exporter. And there has been a lot of panic buying by companies because suddenly they got booking cancellations. So they find that they can easily buy coffee in origin, but then they cannot export it. We do expect coffee prices to come back down at some point in 2022. But it's very difficult to tell exactly when.
That'll be an important thing for, I think, all of us getting up early in the morning. Carlos Mera, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
One final number for you, 13. That's how many Turkish lira it takes to buy one U.S. dollar. And it's near a record that it hit last week. It comes after fresh economic growth data failed to alleviate concerns about a recent plunge in the currency and inflation that's holding near 20%. Stay with Marketplace. We will continue to follow that story as it unfolds. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.